Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista Better Together. My name is Aaron Clutter, and in this session we'll discuss many new features shared by Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008. The session will cover three main areas. The new features in Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista help make it easier for you to manage your enterprise. In this session, we'll discuss the technology that is replacing Remote Installation Services, or RIS, and how service pack updates will be unified in Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista. We'll discuss the new XML-based searchable event logs and the event log subscriptions, which is a way to forward and collect event logs. We'll also look at the new network management security feature that you'll be hearing a lot about, Network Access Protection, also called NAP. Then we'll show you new availability features for data, such as the many improvements to offline files that are designed to make client-side caching much more transparent and intuitive. In addition, we'll look at new printing features and the new Policy-Based Quality of Service, or QoS, which allows you to prioritize data flow on your network using group policy. Then we'll look at Terminal Services Gateway, the technology that helps make applications available remotely. In the last section today, we'll look at several underlying enhancements to the operating system and network technologies that translate to increased performance, reliability, and scalability. Things like the redesigned network stack, SMB 2.0, and the new search features you've likely seen or heard about. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Here's a brief overview of knowledge that is helpful but not essential for this session. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain any new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. First, while there are many new and exciting features and capabilities in Windows Server 2008, the basic user interface still behaves much like that of Windows Server 2003 or Windows XP. If you've mastered the UI in those operating systems, then you'll have no trouble navigating around Windows Server 2008. Similarly, the basic concepts regarding the management of a Windows-based server are more or less unchanged. If you've managed a Windows Server 2003 server in the past, you'll find the new streamlined setup and automation tools to be welcome and refreshing. Finally, we'll talk about some of the new features and improvements in the networking technologies in Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista. So, experience with network technologies such as TCP/IP will help you understand this section. To cover new features and keep them organized, we've divided this session up into three main areas. We'll start by talking about why Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista are so closely related. While each operating system is a great standalone product, together they enable many new and exciting features that promote more efficient management. Next, we'll talk about the new features that make data more available, such as improvement to offline files, client-side print rendering, the transactional file system, and policy-based QoS. And finally, we'll review such things as the new TCP/IP stack and SMB 2.0 protocol that speed network communications in Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista. Let's start with a look at the fundamental reason why Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 work so well together. Because Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista were built as part of a single development project, they share a number of new technologies across networking, storage, security, and management. Windows Server 2008 provides more control over server infrastructure, plus greater flexibility for new scenarios, such as virtualization and applications, as well as increased security. Windows Vista helps users find and organize information, provides features that enable the mobile workforce, improves both security and compliance, and helps to optimize the desktop infrastructure. Although many of these enhancements apply to either Windows Server 2008 or Windows Vista, when organizations deploy both operating systems, they'll see how the combined client-server infrastructure provides even greater advantages. Both Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 were designed with the infrastructure optimization model in mind, so let's review that. The Infrastructure Optimization, or IO, model from Microsoft helps customers understand and subsequently improve the current state of their IT infrastructure and what that means in terms of cost, security risk, and operational agility. Dramatic cost savings can be realized by moving from a basic unmanaged environment towards a dynamic environment. Security improves from highly vulnerable in a basic infrastructure to dynamically proactive in a more mature infrastructure. Windows Server 2008 includes many new security, management, and automation features that can help you move more easily towards a dynamic and people-ready environment. Now let's take a closer look at the technology that's replacing RIS, Windows Deployment Services. The first step in management is deployment. Windows Deployment Services, or WDS, provides a simplified and secure means of rapidly deploying Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista by using network-based installation. It does so without requiring an administrator to work directly on each computer or to install Windows components from CD or DVD media. WDS contains a number of new and enhanced features that will save IT staff time. WDS replaces RIS and is the name for a suite of components that work together to enable the deployment of Windows operating systems, particularly Windows Vista. These components are organized by the following three categories: server, client, and management components. Server components include Pixie and TFTP for network booting a client to load and install operating systems. Also included is a shared folder and image repository that contains boot images, installation images, and files for network booting. There's also a set of tools to manage WDS. Client components include a graphical user interface that runs within the Windows pre-installation environment and communicates with server components to select and install an operating system image. WDS provides several enhancements to the RIS feature set. These enhancements support the deployment of Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 operating systems. With WDS, you can do a number of important tasks such as create a capture image that can create a custom image from a computer that has been prepared with SysPrep, associate unattended installation files with Windows images, associate one or more language packs with an image, eliminating your need for unique images for each language that your organization supports, create a Discover image for use with computers that do not support Pixie boot. After the server is deployed, maintenance becomes an ongoing concern. With Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista, users will benefit from a single servicing model. A single service pack will patch all versions of each operating system, making service pack deployment simpler, which should help to ensure that all systems are properly patched in a timely fashion. We have a simple network setup to demonstrate the enhancements and benefits of using Microsoft Windows Server 2008 along with Windows Vista. We have a server set up with the Active Directory, DNS, Network Policy Server, and DHCP roles installed. The client workstation is set up to obtain an IP address through DHCP. Let's take a look at the new features of the Microsoft Management Console 3.0. In this demonstration, we'll see the many improvements made to the Microsoft Management Console, or MMC, 3.0 and snap-ins. The Microsoft Management Console, or MMC 3.0, features a new Add or Remove Snap-ins tool that makes it easy to add, organize, and remove snap-ins. You can control which extensions are installed, how they're organized, and which components are made available. We'll add some useful snap-ins to our console, like Server Manager and Task Scheduler. Many snap-ins can be configured to manage either the local computer or any remotely connected computers. We can load the Task Scheduler snap-in and configure it to control either our server or a connected workstation. We'll go back now and select our server to load the snap-in. Let's also add the Terminal Services Manager snap-in, and then add the snap-in for Windows Firewall. With these snap-ins, you also have the option of picking which computer to manage. You can easily organize snap-ins by rearranging them in the tree. You can arrange them any way you want, like moving the more often used snap-ins to the top of the list. Server Manager is a useful console for managing server health and configuration. It can be easily integrated into the MMC. A useful feature in Server Manager is the Server Role home pages. The Actions pane is located on the right side of the console. The Actions pane lists all of the actions that are available based on the items currently selected in the Tree or Details pane. The Windows Firewall Properties dialog box shows the actions that are applicable for the Windows Firewall snap-in. You can easily examine the current firewall properties. You can also export or import these settings. There are also many useful controls available on the Actions pane of the Terminal Services Manager. You can easily hide the Actions pane to better see the Details pane. Click the Show Hide Action Panes button in the toolbar, which is similar to the Show Hide Tree Pane button. The Task Scheduler is significantly enhanced and offers a great deal of flexibility for both Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista. Task Scheduler includes a useful feature, the Defrag module. This tool helps ensure file integrity by keeping files contiguous. We can use the Favorites feature of the MMC to add a link to the Defrag task. Now, whenever we want to get back to the defrag, we can use the favorite right here. By default, all available snap-in extensions are enabled. However, you can selectively deploy specific extensions for security concerns or other reasons. We'll install the Group Policy Object Editor to show how customizable it is. If you want to enable only certain extensions, highlight the snap-in and then click Edit Extensions. In the Edit Extensions dialog box, we can select which extensions we want to enable or disable. We'll go ahead and disable the login scripts by clearing this checkbox. The startup scripts are available for the computer configuration. But because we disabled the logon logoff scripts, they're not available under user configuration. Now we'll take a closer look at the new event logging. Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista provide much stronger event logging and tracing functionality than previous versions of Windows. Previous limitations included a limit to the total size of all logs and limitations to the number of events that could be published on an Active Directory domain controller. Event logs can be challenging to use because they can get cluttered with events that have little or no significance to the query at hand. This may hide or obscure the important events that an administrator may be searching for. While some events provide little information, what isn't useful to one user may be extremely useful to another user. These new event logs offer a way to filter out events, allowing you to zero in on events that matter to you the most. This relies on a cross-log query language that is supported by the event log service. For this to work, all events must follow a well-defined structure. The new event logs have a well-defined structure. In fact, events are represented using XML with a published schema. This makes it possible to create queries that collect the events interesting to you while filtering out extraneous events. Of course, the use of structured events opens new doors for automation, as has been seen with the new task scheduler integration. Custom views are based on queries in a simple but powerful XML-based query language. The Create Custom Query View dialog box can be used to create a view for all task scheduler events. While the Event Viewer enables you to view events on a single remote computer, troubleshooting an issue might require you to examine a set of events stored in multiple logs on multiple computers. Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista include the ability to collect copies of events from multiple remote computers and store them locally. To specify which events to collect, you create an event subscription. Among other details, the subscription specifies exactly which events will be collected and in which log they will be stored locally. When a subscription is active and events are being collected, you can view and manipulate these forwarded events as you would any other locally stored events. Using the event collection feature requires that you configure both the forwarding and the collecting computers. Now we'll see a demonstration of the new event logging. In this demonstration, we'll explore the main enhancements made to Windows Event Viewer, such as custom views, event subscriptions, and task activation. In Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista, Windows Event Viewer is completely rewritten. It has a new interface and is integrated with a new centralized event logging system. The new Event Viewer works with native Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista event logs. It also provides backward compatibility with Event Viewer files from previous versions of Microsoft Windows operating systems. Updated features includes cross-log queries, integration with the task scheduler, increased multi-page support for larger result sets, and a summary view to simplify administration. The Events Summary box offers a useful breakdown of events, showing how many events occurred in the past hour, the past day, the past week, and the total number of events. When a particular event ID is selected, the summary page displays all of the events in the log with that event ID. This is a useful tool for tracking a particular recurring event ID. A group of events can be easily saved for additional analysis or research at a later date. On the console tree, there is a collection of custom views for the server roles. Event ID 3 corresponds to the DNS server shutting down. You can also attach a task to an event. Using this option, you can trigger a specific task, such as displaying a message or starting a program, based on a specific event occurring. This wizard allows you to easily create a basic task that will be triggered on DNS server event ID 3, which corresponds to a shutdown of the DNS service. We'll set this up a bit later, not with this basic wizard, but in a more detailed fashion with the task scheduler. Here are additional log summaries relating to roles and services that may be installed on your server. This convenient page summarizes the total number of events logged for each service. This section lists many components of the Windows operating system, tracking any events that may have been logged. The overview and summary page also includes a recently viewed node, which tracks and presents the nodes of the event viewer that you recently examined. Here are links to the task scheduler and the DNS server event logs. And finally, at the bottom of the overview page is a summary of all the different logs, detailing the sizes of each log, and whether or not they are currently enabled, and what the retention policies are. A custom view and event viewer can give you all the details you need to manage your computers without the distraction of other events. Custom views can include specific types of events for one or more computers. You can precisely target your selection. You can choose a specific event level such as critical, warning, error, or information. You can specify either the event logs or the event sources of the events that will appear in the custom view. To specify the event sources, choose the event sources option, and in the event sources list, click the checkboxes next to the event sources that you want to include in the custom view. To specify the event logs, select the event logs option and in the event logs drop-down list, select the checkboxes next to the event logs from which you want to include events. In the event logs list, you can select the logs to use for the view you want. You can select multiple log files as the source for the view. You can target specific event IDs. You can also enter multiple event IDs or a range of event IDs if that helps you find what you're looking for. Event ID 4624 is recorded when an account is successfully logged on. If you don't know the event ID, you can search with keywords through the text of the event IDs to find what you're looking for. In the keywords list, select the checkboxes next to the keywords in the drop-down list that you want to include in the custom view. In the user field, enter the name of the user accounts you want to display. You can enter multiple users by separating them with a comma. In the computers field, enter the name of the computers that you want your custom view to display. Enter multiple computers by separating them with a comma as well. So let's save this custom view and name it Logon Tracking, because event ID 4624 logs when users are logging on. The console tree already has a section designated for any custom views. Our logon tracking view is placed right here. The complete list of events is shown in the Details pane, with the event ID 4624 corresponding to an account successfully logging on. The Task Scheduler is able to integrate with Event Viewer to provide more flexibility in responding to system or application events. For example, you could create a task that sends an email message whenever disk space runs low on the server, alerting the administrator that maintenance is required. We'll set up a specific event as a new trigger for the task scheduler. We'll begin a specific task on an event. We'll first set it up to use the DNS server log. For event ID, let's use 3. Remember, this is the event ID that is generated when the DNS service is shut down. Optionally, you can enter a delay for the task in advanced settings. For our action, we'll start Notepad. Then we'll have Notepad load a log file that was created for tracking when the DNS service is stopped. The administrator will then be given an opportunity to add any comments to the log file using Notepad. In case of error, we want to make sure to shut down any currently running instances of the task before starting a new instance. Now let's try testing our event-based task. We'll open up the command prompt and then type in the command to stop the DNS server. The DNS service stops and then triggers the task. After the DNS service stops, Notepad launches immediately and loads the DNS log file. Let's add a comment indicating that we stopped the DNS server for testing purposes. Now we can close Notepad and save our file. And we should restart the DNS service before continuing. Another enhancement to manageability from an administrative and end-user perspective are the search features of Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista. Organizations store nearly everything in digital form, from documents and videos through email messages, faxes, and voicemail messages. This, coupled with the increase of hard disk storage capacity, means that organizing and locating information has become a serious challenge. To help address these challenges, Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 have enhancements to desktop search, as well as file and folder organization. Now users can find files with the minimum of knowledge about the file, for example, the type of file, when it was created, or even what it contains. Desktop search also helps you see your files in multiple ways. You can arrange them by date, by author, and so forth. The system can auto-organize your content using basic properties that are often automatically saved with your files. Even better, with certain applications, such as Windows Media Player 11, you can tag your files with relevant properties, enabling the system to bring together your documents, photos, music, and videos in whatever way you think about them. Instant Search, a new feature in Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008, helps ensure that powerful search features are always close at hand. Just type a file name, a property, or even text within a file, and Instant Search will return pinpointed results. Search right from the Start menu to find specific files, applications, or Internet favorites. As you type, Windows Vista instantly searches file and application names, metadata, and the full text of all files, and then groups your results by category and type. Instant Search is available in the top right corner of the Document Explorer, Music Explorer, Pictures Explorer, and the new Search Explorer. Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista also introduce convenient, customizable search folders. Clicking a search folder instantly runs the search. Windows Vista comes with many pre-configured search folders, such as Important Email, which shows you all of your flagged email, and All Attachments, which shows you all files that are mail attachments. You can create and save your own search folders, too. Now let's see a demonstration of the search features available in Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista. In this demonstration, we'll look at some of the enhancements made to search features and indexing built into Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista. Instant Search is an enhanced desktop search and organizational tool in Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 that helps you easily locate files and other objects. To find a specific file, application, or Internet favorite, open the Start menu and begin typing in the embedded search box. As you type, Windows instantly searches file names, metadata, and the full text of indexed files, and it displays the search results organized by asset type. In this example, we're searching for some sample files shipped with Windows Vista. The folders containing these files are listed here. We can do a more comprehensive search by using the See All Results option. When you open the See All Results window, the search tool compiles a comprehensive view of all the files related to the search term. In this case, it retrieved all the files that are stored in all these sample media folders. The Search Explorer showcases the Instant Search tool in the top right corner. It's available when you're using any Explorer window, including the Documents Explorer, Music Explorer, Pictures Explorer, and Windows Explorer. At the top of the window is a series of buttons that can further refine your search results and show only email messages, documents, pictures, music, or other types of files. The Music button will sort the results and show only music files. If available, the Search Explorer can show additional information like artist, album, and genre. The Picture button will likewise sort the results and show only picture files. The displayed fields are completely customizable. The Details pane shows the picture's tags, rating, and the photographer. Opening up the Advanced Search options presents a wide variety of fields and choices. You can search on some of the previously mentioned fields, like tags and title. If we search for the flower pictures, we'll get two pictures that have the word flowers in the file name. We can also save these searches. We'll name the search Flowers. There are many predefined searches that you can use, such as recently changed files. You'll see our DNS log file listed in the Recently Changed Files list. Right above the predefined searches in the console tree, you'll find the new search that we just saved. Selecting that saved search will instantly present the search term's results in the Details pane. Now, when we type the word flowers into the search field, the Instant Search tool quickly finds the files with the word flowers in the name, as well as our saved search. The key to Instant Search is the Windows Search Service indexing. This service is integrated into Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 and is a role service component of the File Services role. The indexing service is a legacy component and should probably not be installed in most Windows Server 2008 file server deployments. The indexing service and Windows Search Service cannot be installed simultaneously because they employ different types of indexing. Detailed and comprehensive indexing is the key to making the Instant Search so fast and effective. The Indexing Options dialog box features a number of tools and options for you to customize Instant Search for your environment. The Indexing Options dialog box shows what folders are currently being indexed and how many items are currently being indexed. On the Index Locations dialog box, you can modify the current set of folders. You can add any number of folders to the indexing tool. However, indexing the entire disk is not advisable. There are a number of other settings available in the Advanced Options dialog box. The first option allows you to index encrypted files. You can also change the location where the index files are stored. The File Types tab has a list of the file types, which allows you to define how these files are indexed. For most files, you'll probably just want to index the file name and other properties. But some files, such as Word documents, are perfect candidates for indexing both the properties and the contents of the file. Additional options are available in the Folder Options dialog box. Here you can adjust how the search tools behave and what files they search for. In the How to Search section, you can adjust a number of things, like whether to find partial matches or to use natural language search. And finally, you can adjust how Windows Search operates when searching in non-indexed locations, such as whether or not to include system directories or compressed files. Another enhancement is the addition of NAP, provided by Windows Server 2008 NPS, along with Windows Vista as the NAP client. Network Access Protection, or NAP, provides the enterprise with additional protection by checking system health and restricting access of systems that are not in compliance. Enterprises are constantly being challenged by viruses that invade their system because of consultants or guests plugging in, employees connecting through VPNs, and the everyday attacks on vulnerable computers in the network. In response to viruses and other threats, IT administrators need tools to establish health policies that require baseline compliance and manage policy enforcement with remediation systems. One of the most time-consuming challenges that administrators face is ensuring that computers that connect to the private network meet health policy requirements. NAP for Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista, as well as Windows XP Service Pack 2, helps administrators enforce compliance with health policies for network access or communication. Developers and administrators can create solutions for validating computers that connect to their networks and can provide needed updates or access to needed resources, which are called health update resources. They can also limit the access of non-compliant computers. So let's take a look at how NAP works and what it does. In this case, a Windows client tries to connect to the network through a VPN. The request to access the network is sent to the NPS. This is called health policy validation and is an essential component of NAP. When a user attempts to connect to the network, the computer's health state is validated against the health policies as defined by the administrator. Administrators can then choose what to do if a computer is not compliant. In a restricted environment, computers that comply with the health policies are allowed unlimited access to the network. But computers that do not comply with health policies or that are not compatible with network access protection have their access limited to a restricted network. The system health agent presents the client computer's health to the policy server, which relays it to the corporate policy server where the client's health is compared with the defined access policy. If the client is not compliant, it is sent to a remediation server on a restricted network. The remediation server can install the necessary patches, configurations, or applications to bring clients to a healthy state. Another key component of NAP is health policy compliance. Administrators can help ensure compliance with health policies by choosing to automatically update non-compliant computers with the missing requirements through management software such as SMS. Computers that do not comply with the health policies may have limited access until the software and configuration updates are completed. Limits can be based on a specific amount of time to a restricted network, to a single resource, or to no internal resources at all. If a client is compliant, then it's given access to the corporate network. Administrators can use NAP with DHCP, VPNs, IPsec, and 802.1x to set the security level that meets the needs of their organization. Administrators can set policy-based access controls to define access to their systems. Now let's go to our next demonstration and see how to deploy NAP. In this demonstration, we'll set up and deploy NAP for a network policy server. A Windows Security Health Validator, or SHV policy, is a client health policy that establishes the requirements for computers that may connect to your network. When client computers attempt to connect to your network and their configuration does not match the SHV policy, their network connection is blocked and they're quarantined to a remediation network until they're brought into compliance. The Network Policy Server, or NPS, will validate the system health of clients against the configured network health policies. Network health requirements are defined by system health validators. Therefore, the system health validator first needs to be configured. For this demonstration, our system health policy will only require that Windows Firewall and automatic updating are enabled. In addition, you could also require that computer virus and spyware protection be installed on client computers in order to be considered healthy. Next, the health policies must be configured. These policies define the system health validation results that are interpreted by the NPS. Health policies consist of system health validators and other settings that allow you to define the minimum computer requirements for the client computers that connect to your network. We'll create two policies. The first will apply to client computers that comply with our SHV. If we look at the list of SHV check types, we can see that there are various conditions that can define this health policy: that a client passes all or some of the SHV checks, or fails all or some of the SHV checks. You can define client health policies in NPS by adding one or more SHVs to the health policy. After a health policy is configured, you can add the health policy to the NAP-enforced network policy. In our environment, for the client computer to be considered compliant, it must pass all SHV checks. Again, this SHV check means that the client computer must have both the Windows Firewall and automatic updates enabled. The second policy we define will define what it means for a client computer to be considered non-compliant. In this case, a computer will be judged as non-compliant if it fails any of the SHV checks. We finished configuring the health policies. Now we need to define the network policies that will tell the NPS how to handle client computers as they come onto the network. Network policies are settings that allow you to designate who is authorized to connect to the network and the circumstances under which they can or cannot connect. We'll create a network policy that will grant full network access for healthy, compliant client computers. In this demonstration, we're going to set our NPS to manage DHCP server access. The health policies will restrict access to only computers that meet the specified criteria. There are lots of available conditions that you can define for whatever policy you want applied, such as day and time restrictions, Windows or users groups, and radius client properties. You can create new health policies in the Health Policies dialog box, but we'll just use the policies that we created earlier. For this health policy, we're only concerned that the computer passes the compliance check that we defined earlier, meaning that the computer needs to have both Windows Firewall and automatic updates enabled. By selecting the option to grant access, we aren't actually allowing the computer onto the network. What we're doing is simply stating that computers that match the conditions of the policy will be allowed to be further evaluated. We'll configure those conditions in a moment. You can also enforce specific authentication methods, although for the sake of simplicity in this demonstration, we'll allow clients to connect without negotiating an authentication method. Constraints are additional parameters that are required to match the connection request. If a constraint is not matched by the connection request, NPS automatically rejects the request. You can constrain by many options, including day and time. Constraints are optional. If you do not wish to configure constraints, click Next. On the Configure Settings page, you can define what settings will be applied if the policy conditions are met. Using NAP enforcement settings, you can specify whether you want to enforce NAP for this network policy and whether you want enforcement to be deferred. If you select Allow Full Network Access, NAP is not enforced for the network policy. So for the full access policy, we will not restrict network access. Now that we have defined a compliant policy, we need to create the non-compliant one. Again, we'll use DHCP for our network access server. Then we'll add the health policies to our DHCP server. This time, we'll select the non-compliant health policy that we created earlier. And even though we're electing to grant access here, that only means that we're allowing the client's connection to continue to be processed. This doesn't mean that they will have unrestricted network access. And again, we'll allow clients to connect without negotiating an authentication method. You can also set constraints for these policies. The other difference is that we'll enforce network access protection in this policy. If you select Allow Limited Access, NAP is enforced. You can also force non-compliant computers to be updated automatically. This could prove to be a very effective solution to manage compliance in a large enterprise. However, we'll have this setting disabled so that we can better test and manually adjust the settings on the client computer ourselves a little bit later on. We'll now switch over to a Windows Vista client computer and review this computer's current configuration. The Firewall Properties window shows a security warning because the firewall is currently disabled. While not advisable, this was done intentionally for the purposes of this demonstration. Similarly, Windows Update is also disabled. So what we have is a client computer with no firewall and no way to automatically receive Windows updates. We've set up a simple MMC console that contains some tools that we'll need for setting up this client computer to use NAP. First, we'll go into the Services console for this computer and configure the Network Access Protection Agent service to start automatically. Without this service, the System Health Agent on the Windows Vista-based computer will not respond appropriately to health checks by the NPS. We have one more NAP client configuration setting to make. In the NAP Client Configuration console, we'll enable the DHCP Quarantine Enforcement Client. This provides DHCP enforcement for NAP, which we'll see in just a moment. So with these settings in place, we'll restart this computer and move to Windows Server 2008 to configure the server-side DHCP settings to use NAP. DHCP in Windows Server 2008 works well with NAP. We'll configure the NAP options for this DHCP server. Let's start by enabling network access protection for this scope. Next, we'll configure the scope options for the default user class. Let's add a domain name of contoso.com for the default user class. Now we'll define the scope options for the default NAP class. The NAP domain name will be called restricted.contoso.com. Client computers that fail their health validator checks will still be assigned an IP address, but those addresses will be in a restricted domain. Let's switch back to our Windows Vista client computer. It's important to remember that before NAP will be enforced, the NAP service and the DHCP NAP enforcement client must be configured, either manually or through group policy. In the bottom right section of the desktop, there's a message that tells us that network access is limited until we update this computer. The ipconfig command shows that we've been assigned an IP address, but we're in the restricted.contoso.com domain. This tells us that we've failed the compliance health check. The firewall window shows that the firewall is not enabled. Remember, computers must pass all SHV checks to be considered in compliance with the network access policy. Windows Vista makes it easy to accomplish tasks that required many more steps in previous versions. For example, we can turn on the firewall with a single click. You may recall that we also required Windows updates to be enabled on client computers before they could pass the SHV check. So, we'll go ahead and enable Windows updates. Remember, we could have configured NPS to enable auto-remediation, which would have made these changes for us. So now if we look at our network configuration again, we can see that we've been moved automatically to the unrestricted network and no further intervention was required. Let's return to the presentation and look at what's next. Now let's go on to our next agenda item, which covers technologies that provide greater availability. In this section, we'll cover new client-side caching features, which makes offline files more available and improves the offline folder experience. Then we'll talk about improvements in printing and networking technologies, including policy-based QoS, which allows administrators to prioritize traffic and reduce network communication problems. Finally, we'll examine new terminal services features that make applications available remotely. The first thing we should talk about are the new features of client-side caching. The client-side caching capabilities in Windows Vista are greatly enhanced and work with Windows Server 2008, as well as Windows 2000 Server and Windows Server 2003. Additionally, client-side caching between Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 accrues extra benefits from underlying networking improvements. Client-side caching refers to using offline folders, which provide the ability to work and be mobile while retaining access to the files you need and provide a smooth synchronization process. Windows Vista provides transparent state transitions from being online to offline, the same as in Windows 2000 and Windows XP. Now in Windows Vista, going from offline to online requires no user intervention. Before, users had to close open files before going online and then explicitly trigger an offline to online transition. With Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista, open file handles are transitioned online by reestablishing a handle back to the server. Offline changes are silently synchronized in the background, and in the event of a conflict, the client-side version is used. Windows Vista also offers fast synchronization, which enables quicker sync between client and server. A new algorithm reduces time to determine differences between client and server. Bitmap differential transfers enable transfer of only modified data between client and server. Additional improvements include periodic background syncs, which reduce the total data to sync at any one time, and per-user synchronization, where only the current user's files are synced if dealing with a shared client. Detection is another improvement to slow link mode. It's based on throughput and latency between client and server. Thresholds are configurable using an API or group policy. If a user is experiencing link issues, he or she can stay in slow link mode, working offline and satisfying requests from the cache until they wish to force a transition to online mode. A uniform namespace is also provided. In previous versions, offline folders can look different from online folders because only folders and files that are specified as being offline are visible. This can lead to confusion when a computer is offline. Now, for all directories that are enumerated online, all uncached or partially cached files are ghosted. This means they're visible but not accessible. So when you open up an offline folder, you see the same structure you're used to when working online. Cache encryption is supported as well. Files can be encrypted in the local cache using the user's encryption key, providing more security for mobile users. There's also an automated encryption of remote encrypted files. These are encrypted in the cache in the user's context. Beware, there is a limitation. If multiple users share a computer and share cached files, only the first user to cache the file will be able to access the file when the computer is offline. Scriptable APIs are also supported. A comprehensive programming reference guide is available with Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008. Now we'll move on to another couple of new features, client-side print rendering and transactional file system. One of the availability enhancements in Windows Vista is client-side print rendering. The print job is rendered on the Windows Vista-based computer, and data is sent to the print server in raw format. This reduces the load on printer servers and also gives better performance in remote locations that don't have a local server. When the print service is a Windows Server 2008 server, it also eliminates print driver mismatch. Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 have transactional NTFS. This is the same NTFS that you're used to using with added support for transactions. Transactional NTFS, or TXF, integrates transactions into the NTFS file system, which makes it easier for application developers and administrators to more effectively handle errors and preserve data integrity. TXF can participate in distributed transactions that the distributed transaction coordinator coordinates, which allows developers to write applications that utilize TXF. Some uses might be performing single or multiple file updates, performing consistent concurrent updates, or coordinating with other transactional resource managers to ensure that file updates take place as part of a larger transaction. While TXF is a useful enhancement to NTFS, it's not appropriate for multiple user scenarios, nor is it appropriate for situations where a file is open for long periods of time, such as in logging scenarios. Next, we'll look at client-side caching settings more closely. In this demonstration, we'll review client-side caching, which helps maintain high availability in a Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista environment. Windows Vista's client-side caching capabilities are greatly enhanced to work with Windows Server 2008. Server resources are cached locally so that they are made available even when the server is not, and copies are automatically updated when the client and server are reconnected. Windows Vista uses fast synchronization and differential transfers so that only modified changes in files are transferred between client and server, rather than the entire file, regardless of application type. In the Advanced Sharing option, you can customize the client-side caching and offline settings. With this option, the user can manually designate files or folders to be cached. In this mode of caching, called pinning, the files are always available locally and are not removed from the cache until they are unpinned. This option provides that any designated file or folder is automatically cached on the computer from which it's accessed. Files that are cached in this way are subject to removal from the cache as new files come in. This option restricts caching so that files cannot be cached locally if, for example, local storage of files presents a security issue. Attempts to pin such a file result in an error notification. Another availability enhancement in Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista is policy-based QoS. In prior versions of Quality of Service, or QoS, in Windows operating systems, application developers and ISVs wrote to QoS-specific APIs. With Enterprise QoS, applications do not need to be written to a QoS API because QoS functionality is controlled through group policy. Enterprise QoS is new to Microsoft Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008. Enterprise QoS alleviates network congestion issues by enabling central management of bandwidth. An IT department can define QoS policies for Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 that prioritize or throttle network traffic without requiring modifications to applications. These policies can be defined based on the sending application, source and destination IP address, sourced and destination port, protocol, and deployment through group policy. Let's take a look at this example. Finance users and other users are connected to finance servers. All of these users generate traffic, which leads to the problem of congestion over WAN links, which can lead to delays in getting mission-critical updates and responses. With Active Directory and Windows Server 2008, these policies can be implemented for Windows Vista clients. First, notice the bulk traffic policy. This applies a low-priority differentiated services code, or DSCP, value. This is a value between 0 and 63 that's placed in the type of service header in the IP packet. This determines the priority with which the packet is treated when being routed to its destination. As with most priorities, higher numbers are better, so the normal users get this low priority. Next, we see that users in the Desktop Finance Mission Critical Group get a DSCP value of 12. They have higher priority and will experience fewer, if any, delays. Finally, we have Server Finance Mission Control. They have the highest priority, so their responses to clients won't be delayed. Now let's take a closer look at these policies in a demonstration. In this demonstration, we'll set up policy-based QoS for a Windows Server 2008 network. Policies can be created to ensure greater quality of service, or QoS, for certain applications or services that require prioritization of network bandwidth between client and server. By using group policy, administrators can also restrict the amount of bandwidth that an application can use. You'll notice that the policy-based QoS node is listed under Windows Settings. This is the local group here, but it's also an Active Directory group policy that can be pushed down to your clients. We'll start with an example of how to deal with running a number of applications where we need to throttle all traffic coming out of that server, regardless of application or port. Let's create a bulk traffic policy for the server and give it a priority of 10. More importantly, we can limit the throughput that it uses. We have the ability to set a wide range to limit the server's throughput. We'll specify the throttle rate of 200 kilobytes per second for the server. On the second page of the wizard, you can decide to apply this QoS policy to all applications or to pick exactly which ones you want. Use this option to set this for all applications. Otherwise, you can pick and choose exactly which applications you want to throttle. This can help you specify the exact type of traffic you want to restrict. You can also use wildcards to specify the applications. On the next page, you can configure the policy to restrict traffic coming from a specific source IP address. You can also specify a destination IP address. This flexibility allows you to throttle traffic going into your machine or throttle traffic coming out of your machine. On the final page of the wizard, we can specify different ports and protocols that we can use. You can choose to use TCP, UDP, or both protocols. You can specify the source port. And you can specify whether to use any destination port or just a specific destination port. Another exciting new feature is access to remote programs through terminal services. Terminal Services Gateway, or TS Gateway, is a new server role that enables internet access to remote computers through firewalls and network address translators. TS Gateway allows authorized remote users to log on to terminal servers on a corporate network from anywhere over the internet. Windows Server 2008 Terminal Services Remote App provides the ability to run both local and remotely hosted programs on a Windows desktop. These programs will be fully integrated with the local computer, having their own resizable windows and taskbar entries. The remote program is completely integrated with the user's desktop and appears to the user as if it's running on the user's local computer. Users can run programs from a remote location side by side with their local programs. If the program uses a notification area icon, this icon appears in the client's notification area. Pop-up windows are redirected to the local desktop. Local drives and printers can be redirected to appear in the remote program. Many users might not be aware that the remote program is any different than a local program. Let's take a look at how this works. TS Gateway allows users to connect over the internet to computers that are configured to allow remote desktop connections. With this feature, users can connect to their corporate network from remote places, such as hotels or client sites, by means of the internet. Remote desktop connections are available in Windows Server 2003, Windows XP, Windows Vista, and Windows Server 2008. TS Gateway allows connections from the internet by using RDP over HTTPS and routing the connections appropriately inside a network. TS Gateway transmits all RDP traffic, that typically would have been sent over port 3389 to port 443 by using an HTTP SSL tunnel. All traffic between the user's client computer and TS Gateway is encrypted while in transit over the Internet. Users will need an SSL certificate to utilize this functionality. When data is received through an external firewall into the perimeter network, TS Gateway routes traffic to a network policy server. This will check to see if the user is allowed to cross the gateway and if they're allowed to contact the computer they're trying to reach. If the user is validated and allowed in, then all of the encapsulating HTTPS information is stripped off. The terminal gateway server transmits all RDP traffic by using an HTTP SSL tunnel. Then the TS gateway passes the RDP traffic to the destination machines and a security-enhanced connection is established. Other traffic that is approved is routed to the appropriate terminal server. Now let's go to the last item on our agenda, faster communications. The last topic we'll look at in this session will focus on the new features that speed network communications in Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista. These include auto-tuning, which will be able to consume high-bandwidth links in a high-latency situation, the new TCP/IP network stack, and new group policy settings, as well as SMB 2.0. Microsoft Windows Server 2008 includes a complete redesign of the TCP/IP stack. The TCP/IP stack is redesigned in Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista to allow high-speed, multi-gigabit capabilities without consuming all of the CPU power and resources on the server. This new implementation of the TCP/IP stack is known as the next-generation TCP/IP stack. The next-generation TCP/IP stack is a complete redesign of TCP/IP functionality for both IPv4 and IPv6 that meets the connectivity and performance needs of today's varied networking environments and technologies. The following features have been added: receive window auto-tuning, compound TCP, enhancements for high-loss environments, neighbor unreachability detection for IPv4, changes in dead gateway detection, changes to PMTU black hole router detection, routing compartments, network diagnostics framework support, Windows filtering platform, and explicit congestion notification. The next-generation TCP/IP stack supports the draft TCP Extended Statistics MIB, which defines extended performance statistics for TCP. By analyzing ESTATs on a connection, it's possible to determine whether the performance bottleneck for a connection is the sending or the receiving application or the network. The explicit congestion notification feature also enhances performance. When a TCP segment is lost, TCP assumes that the segment was lost due to congestion at a router and performs congestion control, which dramatically lowers the TCP sender's transmission rate. With explicit congestion notification support on both TCP peers and in the routing infrastructure, routers experiencing congestion mark the packets as they forward them. TCP peers receiving marked packets lower the transmission rate to ease congestion and prevent segment losses. Detecting congestion before packet losses are incurred increases the overall throughput between TCP peers. On the client and on the server, Windows Server 2008 can take advantage of Windows scaling or auto-tuning, which will be able to consume high-bandwidth links in high-latency situations. This is going to dramatically improve the overall experience and throughput of the Windows client. There's greater extensibility and reliability with rich APIs. Windows Filtering Platform, or WFP, is a new architecture in the next-generation TCP/IP stack that provides APIs that non-Microsoft ISVs can filter at several layers in the TCP/IP stack and throughout the operating system. WFP also integrates and provides support for next-generation firewall features, such as authenticated communication and dynamic firewall configuration, based on an application's use of the Windows Sockets API. ISVs can create firewalls, antivirus software, diagnostic software, and other types of applications and services. Windows Firewall and IPsec in Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista use the WFP API. Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 include new group policy settings that can enable you to completely manage network settings through group policy. Through group policy, you can manage such settings as wired LAN settings. You can configure IEEE 802.1x authenticated wired connections. Mixed security mode. You can now configure several profiles with the same SSID with different security methods, so that clients with different security capabilities can all connect to the same wireless network. Allow and deny lists for wireless networks. You can configure a list of wireless networks to which the Windows Vista wireless client can connect, and a list of wireless networks to which the Windows Vista wireless client cannot connect. You can now configure Windows peer-to-peer networking settings with group policy using this service node. Under Computer Configuration, Administrative Templates, Network, Microsoft Peer-to-Peer Networking. Server Message Blocks 2.0 is another innovation that improves communication speed on the network. Server Message Block, or SMB, is also known as the Common Internet File System, or CIFS. It is the file-sharing protocol used by default on Windows-based computers. Windows includes an SMB client, the client for Microsoft Windows component installed through the properties of the network connection, and an SMB server, the file and printer sharing for Windows component installed through the properties of a network connection. SMB and versions of Windows prior to Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista, known as SMB 1.0, was originally designed 15 years ago for early Windows-based network operating systems, such as Microsoft LAN Manager and Windows for Workgroups, and carries with it the limitations of its initial design. SMB 2.0 is redesigned for today's networking environments and the needs of the next generation of file servers. SMB 2.0 has the following enhancements. Native support for IPv6, supports copy integrity over slow links to ensure safe file transfer, supports terminal services secure sign-on, supports sending multiple SMB commands within the same packet. This reduces the number of packets sent between an SMB client and server, a common complaint against SMB 1.0. And it also supports much larger buffer sizes than SMB 1.0. There are many file sharing improvements as well. SMB 2.0 increases the restrictive constants within the protocol, effectively increasing scalability. Examples include an increase in the number of concurrent open file handles on the server and the number of file shares that a server can have. It supports durable handles that can withstand short interruptions in network availability. And it supports symbolic links. Computers running Windows Server 2008 or Windows Vista can support both SMB 1.0 and SMB 2.0. The version of SMB that is used for file sharing operations is determined during the SMB session negotiation. Now let's see a demonstration of the new group policy settings. In this demonstration, we'll briefly look at some of the new group policy settings for Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista. As shown earlier, QoS can alleviate network congestion by enabling central management of Windows Vista network traffic. You can define flexible policies to prioritize inbound TCP throughput levels. Hybrid hard disk policy configures the properties for hybrid hard disks, which are disks with non-volatile caches. This allows you to manage the non-volatile cache and startup and resume optimizations, the solid-state modes, and the power savings modes. You can configure the current power management options in Control Panel. You can disable Windows Error Reporting, which sends problem information to Microsoft. By default, Windows Feedback is turned on for all Windows components. Terminal Services configures features to enhance the security, ease of use, and manageability of Terminal Services remote connections. We've just seen some networking features that improve communications. Now let's review what we've discussed in this session. IT professionals who are administering a Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 infrastructure will notice many improvements in how they control and manage their environment. Maintenance is greatly simplified by the use of a single model for updates and service packs across client and server. Client computers can monitor for specific events and forward to Windows Server 2008 for centralized monitoring and reporting. Windows deployment services provide much faster, more reliable operating system deployment. And network access protection features on Windows Server 2008 ensure that Windows Vista clients connecting to the network are compliant with security policies and restricted from accessing network resources if not compliant. The reliability, scalability, and overall responsiveness of the infrastructure are greatly increased by improvements made to both Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008. Clients render print jobs locally before sending them to print servers to reduce the load on the server and increase its availability. Server resources are cached locally so that they're available even if the server is not, with copies automatically updating when the client and server are reconnected. Applications or scripts that need to run on both client and server can take advantage of the transactional file system to reduce the risk of error during file and registry operations and roll back to a known good state in the event of a failure or cancellation. Policies can be created to ensure greater quality of service for certain applications or services that require prioritization of network bandwidth between client and server. Windows Vista clients connecting to networks where Windows Server 2008 has been deployed can experience greatly improved communication speeds and reliability. Searching Windows Server 2008 servers from a Windows Vista client provides enhanced indexing and caching technologies on both sides to provide huge performance gains across the enterprise. Native IPv6 support across all clients and servers creates a more scalable and reliable network, while the rewritten TCP/IP stack makes network communication much faster and more efficient. The new SMB 2.0 protocol provides a number of communication enhancements, including greater performance when connecting to file shares over high latency links and better security through the use of mutual authentication and message signing. Terminal services on Windows Server 2008 have many improvements, including providing Windows Vista clients with remote access to internal resources through an HTTP gateway and seamless remote applications that run as if on the local desktop. To get more information about the products and technologies we've covered today, we have some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information about Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/add-205 for more information about books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. There are 22 online and instructor-led courses available that cover Microsoft Windows Server 2008. One of the most useful is 5934, which is an online collection composed of 5 clinics where you're introduced to the new features and functionality in Windows Server 2008. 5939 is another online clinic where you learn the new tools and improved features for server management and administration of Windows Server 2008. This includes PowerShell task automation, remote administration, performance, and diagnostics tools. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. Microsoft has learning resources online that can help you. Microsoft Learning develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, or MOOC, which includes e-learning, MS Press books, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals, support, and implementing solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There's also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You can choose to become a fully certified systems administrator, or MCSA, or a systems engineer, MCSE, or a desktop specialist, MCDST. The new Microsoft Certified Technology Specialist, or MCTS, and Microsoft Certified IT Professional, MCITP, credentials provide IT professionals with a simpler and more targeted framework to showcase their technical skills in addition to the skills that are required for specific job roles. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll find interesting to hear about. To help explain this further, here's Karen Fazio, TechNet Marketing Manager.
TechNet Plus is an essential premium web-enabled and live support resource that provides IT professionals with fast and easy access to Microsoft experts, software, and technical information, enhancing IT productivity and control and planning. With convenient access to all these resources in one online location, TechNet Plus provides what you need to help you evaluate products and learn new skills, plan for and deploy new technologies, and support and maintain your IT environment. For evaluation and learning, you get access to all Microsoft full version software for evaluation without time limits. This includes Microsoft Server, Client, and Application Software titles. With full version software, you can make informed decisions about new technologies at your own pace. You also receive access to the latest betas before public release. Be the first to try out the latest pre-release versions of Microsoft operating systems, servers, and business applications. TechNet Plus also offers quarterly training resources, including select Microsoft e-learning courses for free, so you can keep your skills current, prepare for certification exams, or get ready for a specific project. For planning and deployment, the TechNet library includes resources to help you plan for and deploy new technologies in your IT environment, including a complete knowledge base, resource kits, utilities, and technical training. You also get exclusive tools like System Center Capacity Planner to accurately plan for and deploy Exchange Server and System Center Operations Manager. For support and maintenance, TechNet Plus comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. You can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve your mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed news groups. You can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to your technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. You also get access to TechNet library resources to help you support and maintain your IT environment, including security updates and service packs. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. For more information or to purchase a TechNet Plus subscription, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. Thank you for attending this TechNet event. We hope that you enjoyed learning about the new Microsoft technologies.